Thank you for joining us. You are listening to the podcast that highlights the weekly sermons from Cumberland County Community Church in Millville, New Jersey. Each week, you will hear biblically based messages from our senior pastor, Sal Roggio, or other community church pastors. For more information on our church, please visit cccmillville.org or check out the links in the podcast notes. We begin each message with our scripture reading, so here we go.
This morning's scripture comes from the book of 1 Peter, chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. So I exhort the elders among you, as a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, as well as a partaker in the glory that is going to be revealed. Shepherd the flock of God that is among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but willingly, as God would have you. Not for shameful gain, but eagerly. Not domineering over those in your charge, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. Likewise, you who are younger, be subject to the elders. Clothe yourselves, all of you, with humility toward one another. For God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on him, because he cares for you. Be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same kinds of sufferings are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world. And after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. To him be the dominion forever and ever. Amen.
Well, this morning we're going to talk about what God expects of me as a leader. And then Peter, as we'll see in the text that was read, slips down and says, and now this is what he wants you to do who are under that leadership. The early church needed guidance on how they should function and who they should look to for guidance. In God's plan, elders were appointed to lead the local fellowship. And of course, why did he choose elders? Well, the assumption is that elders have been around a while, have developed wisdom and grown in grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so in choosing leaders, he chose elders. And God has expectations for leaders. He also has expectations for those who are under that leadership. Proper leadership sets the stage for harmony in the body of Christ. And today we're going to look at the instructions given to elders as well as instructions given to everyone as a whole. Let's look at the instructions given to elders. The first thing elders should be is willing. In 1 Peter 5:1, so I exhort the elders among you as a fellow elder. So Peter is writing from experience, and he's writing to other people who are less experienced, trying to share what they ought to be and know as leaders. So he exhorts them as a fellow elder and a witness of the suffering of Christ, as well as a partaker in the glory that is going to be revealed. So he is encouraging them with episodes of his life and the expectation of the joy in the day when he will be with the Lord and having served the Lord with all his heart. Now you'll notice the instructions are then coming from one who has experienced it. Elders who serve as elders need to first serve as understudies, in a sense. They have to learn, they have to grow in grace, they have to understand what God wants them to do. And that's what Peter is doing. He's instructing them so they know just what to do in that term of leadership. Peter is saying to church leaders, I am one of you, and I have learned to respond to every kind of circumstance. So he wants to share that. So he goes on to say in verse 2, shepherd the flock of God that is among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but willingly, as God would have you. Leaders are to shepherd the flock. They are to willingly give themselves for the care of of the saints. There should not be a sense of professionalism in the church. Oh, we're the leaders. No, that doesn't belong that way. You should not be afraid to approach church leaders. They should be able to have regular conversations, and you should recognize that all they are doing is fulfilling God's role to be a blessing to the body of Christ. The leader should want to minister. Be willing, he says to the leaders. Then he's teaching them next, be winning. 1 Peter 5:2, shepherd the flock of God that is among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but willingly, as God would have you, not for shameful gain, but eagerly. Leaders ought to want to lead, desire to lead, count it a joy to be a leader in the body of Christ so that he might honor God. Now, the same root word interpreted as shepherd is translated in another context, pastor. And that's what leaders are supposed to do. They're to shepherd or pastor the flock of God. Notice, not for shameful gain. Leaders are not leaders for what they can gain, but rather for what they can give. That's what God is calling leaders to be. And so he goes on and say in verse 3, not domineering over those in your charge, but being examples to the flock. There should be no ego trips, no heaviness in the leadership of a church. There should be those who want to willingly serve God, to be a blessing to the people of God in every way they can. Leaders ought to model how we ought to treat one another, and that's an important thing. They are to have a want-to, not a have-to attitude. Because their goal is to please God, it is as God would have you. Leaders need to constantly be reminded that they are subject to the living God, and they bow before him, lead as God would have them lead. And so we have a be willing understanding here and a be winning. Also, there is a be watching word here for us. 1 Peter 5:4, and when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. Now notice it doesn't say if the chief shepherd appears. It says when the chief shepherd appears. A leader should always be mindful that God is watching everything that is taking place in his leadership, and in that leadership as an elder. God is watching, and one day he will come, and those who lead well and glorify God will receive the unfading crown of glory. And they should be totally aware of that, living in the constant presence of the Lord. When God comes to rule, he will see you as a leader who lived under the lordship of Christ and reward you. That's what the Bible is saying for elders. And that's the kind of elders every church should desire and want. Now, not only does he give instructions to the elders, but he also gives instructions to everyone. Those that have to sit under the leadership of the elder. The elder ought to be leading in such a way that the response is made possible to glorify God. And so here's some of the instructions. First, he says to everyone, as he would indicate to the leader, be congenial. That is, have an attitude of grace. In 1 Peter 5:5, likewise, you who are younger, you are under the leadership, be subject to the elders. Clothe yourselves, all of you, with humility toward one another. For God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. One of the things I love about our church is when I see people sitting together in the coffee cove or coming early in the church or greeting one another. What a sweet fellowship. What a wonderful place where people express love for one another. And not everybody wants to run right out of the door, but they soften chat. And my, you know, the big joke with my wife is, Hey, you live across the street, honey. How come it takes you an hour to get home? Because we want to fellowship with the saints and have relationship with the saints. And those who are younger or under leadership of elders are encouraged to follow their leaders. The leader should set that example, and they are encouraged to follow. But notice both elders and those who are younger are to clothe themselves with humility. There ought to be a sense of humility with everybody in the body of Christ, because what you are is made possible by Christ, by the body, by the Lord himself. And what gifts you have are given to you by the Lord. God does not want proud leaders who lord it over people, but rather people who understand the grace of God. Now, notice both leaders and followers are to be humble. And the way to stay humble is to remind yourself of your weaknesses, to admit our total dependency upon God. Pride was a problem with many leaders in the day of our Lord when he walked on the earth. The religious leaders of that day were proud. And his disciples began to pick up on this. One day, James and John are having a talk. And here's the talk. Whoo, let's go see Jesus. How about you ask him to sit on the left and I ask him to sit on the right when he comes in his kingdom? And that's what they did. And they're now not any consideration to the other 10 disciples. They wanted this seat and this seat. And so they go to Jesus and they ask him that. And Jesus answers the question, but what he does is he calls all the disciples together. And in Mark chapter 10, verse 42, listen to what he tells them. Jesus called them to him and said to them, "You know that those who are considered rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them." But notice what he says next. "But it shall not be so among you. But whoever would be great among you, must be your servant." In other words, if you want to be great in the work of God, learn to serve. Learn to bless others. Have a sense of humility and understand that what you are is a gift of God. And so he says, it should not be among you. You shouldn't do it like the Gentiles do it. You shouldn't do it like others do it. You lead in a different way. And in verse 44, "And whoever would be first among you must be slave of all." You must be willing to be helpful and kind and blessing to people. Then in verse 45, "For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many." Leaders and followers are to have the mind of Christ. And two people clothed with humility toward each other have little trouble working together. And that's how the body of Christ should function, with leadership and with those who are under that leadership. There ought to be a sense of humility, a sense of loving God and serving God together. So Peter instructs us in 1 Peter 5:6, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God." Why? "So that at the proper time he may exalt you." Listen, God will bring blessing in your life. He'll exalt you. He may do many things in your life, but it's important that it takes you to be what he wants you to be. He wants you to have a gentle, quiet, submissive spirit, as well as the leaders to have the same thing. And to be a blessing to one another, we want to be an honor to him in serving one another. So be content with the role in life and do not put on airs. As you serve the Lord in this way, whatever your role might be, God will honor you at the proper time. Submission to God on the leader's part makes submission to the leader possible. And this is part of what Peter is writing. And then he says, "I know that you go through trouble. I know you have hardships in your life. I know that." But notice what he says in 1 Peter 5:7, right after that. "Casting all your anxieties on him." Whatever pressures you feel, cast all your anxieties on him, because he cares for you. If you have worries and you have cares and you have struggles, Cast those cares on the Lord. Learn to be a person who cries out to the living God. God loves to respond to the prayers of his people. And we need to learn that instead of becoming irritable or arrogant or wrong, no, cry out to the living God. Now, here's the truth. Leaders are not perfect. Oh, you know that already. But neither are followers. We are a group of imperfect people growing in grace, learning to walk the way God wants us to walk, and we walk in humility because we understand our own humanity. And when we struggle, we cry out to God and still want to be what he wants us to be. And this is what Peter is saying. Cast all your care upon him, for he cares for you. And so then we're reminded in his caring for us that we can cry out to him. So we should be congenial. Second, we should be careful as people. Careful. 1 Peter 5:8. Be sober-minded. Think this through. Be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. What the devil is looking for is a kink in our armor. We're to put on the whole armor of God. We're to live in a way that honors him. But when we get off track, something upsets us and we become arrogant or rude or impolite. The devil says, aha, that door just opened. And he goes in and he wants to pressure us even more. The devil is looking for a crack. He's looking for anything he can to pressure you in life to change the way you behave. And he loves it when he spots a wrong attitude. That is when he makes his move. But listen to what Peter tells us to do when this happens. Verse 9, resist him firm in your faith, knowing that the same kind of sufferings are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world. Listen, we're all human. We all go through struggles. We all go through suffering. Most people in most parts of the world, many people, are suffering far worse than we could ever imagine. More people are dying for Christ today than at any other time in history. In nations where they will kill you if you confess Christ. Our suffering in America is very small compared to that. Now, it is getting a little worse. People are beginning to talk about Christians and so forth. So what do? You put your life in the hands of God. You trust the Savior. You don't become bitter and angry. And you don't say things you shouldn't say. But instead, you realize that this is not the end. The end is when we go to glory. And we're with God. And when we stand before him and give account of our lives. And he says, well done, faithful servant. You honored me on earth. You confessed me before men. You didn't lose it. You lived the way you should. Enter into the joy of your master. And so he says, resist him firm in the faith, knowing the same kind of sufferings are being experienced everywhere. And you can resist him. That's what he's telling us. There's no such thing as a life without struggles. You may have a better life than some. You may have less struggles than some. But there's no such thing as a life without struggles or a life without sorrows. All Christians have times of suffering throughout the world. But the devil will push to turn every struggle into a major event. Instead, cast your care upon him. Lean upon him. Don't become hard, bitter, angry. Rather, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Now is the time to resist. Even if you find yourself suffering or having a tough time, it is not time to surrender. It is the time to do what Peter tells us to do. Be congenial, be careful, and here's the last part of that. Be confident, be confident. 1 Peter 5:10, and after you have suffered a little while compared to eternity, the God of all grace who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. When you go through suffering, you will find the Lord himself is with you. He will lead and guide and direct and help. Here's the encouragement we need. The suffering will not last forever. God will reveal himself strong in your life. He is the God of all grace. He will enable you to go through difficulty and come out shining for him, because your hope is in him. You have come to know Jesus as Savior. You believe what he says. You are looking for that day of eternity. You can't wait, because you know that even if there's a tear in your eye, he will wipe every tear from your eye, and he'll bless you. That's the encouragement we need. 1 Peter 5:11 goes on to put it this way then. To him be the dominion forever and ever. Amen. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. This is how the body of Christ lives in harmony. We serve the same Savior. We serve him with humility, knowing we are what we are by the grace of God. We bless others. We love to bless others and encourage others. When difficulty comes, we run to our Heavenly Father. We turn to Christ. We cast our care upon him, and we know he cares for us. And then we know at the end, we will stand before him and give account of our lives. And we are looking for the well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord. And that's how churches live in harmony, because we serve the same Savior with the same attitude, and we want to glorify him in everything we do. And so we live in recognition of his sovereignty and involvement in our lives. And just as Peter ends his verse in chapter 5, verse 11, with the amen, we ourselves say, amen. We serve the living God. What more could we ask? Let's have a word of prayer together. Lord, we put our faith in you. We trust you with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength. Whatever we endure down here can't be compared with what we'll be blessed with in your presence. And you will be with us. You will not leave us nor forsake us. And we put our trust in you. May our church be an example of that church that you describe through the Apostle Peter. And may we honor you in everything we do. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, and God bless you.
Thank you for listening to our weekly sermon. Please like, share, and subscribe so you will be notified when the next sermon is uploaded. If you have any questions, would like a copy of the sermon notes, or would like to speak with someone directly, you can find our information on our website at cccmillville.org or in the podcast notes. Until next time, God bless.